Hi, everyone. This is Gary Barkalow, once again, with Jeff Andreessen and Sam Williamson. And every time we do a Basecamp conversation, it's special. But in my heart, this is far more special because we're actually wanting to have a conversation with my son, my oldest son, Jesse Barkalow. I work with men all the time. I have some amazing conversations. And with many of those men, I've grown very close to, because when you get into a man's story, you get close to his heart. But very few hearts am I as close to and as invested in as my children, and specifically tonight talking about my son, Jesse. And so we're going to ask him some questions. And, you know, Sam and Jeff are here as well to ask some questions that they can ask as a friend of Jesse's, but not his father. And so it'll be fun for me to listen. And, you know, Jesse, the one thing, the place I would love to start is there's something that is very unique about your experience that very few people have had or could say they've had, and that is that you have had many, many years of exposure to the message of Wild at Heart, about the masculine heart, what is the story that we live in, what's the assault that comes against our heart. And then you've had a lot of experiences of sitting in and being around the calling message as well. Of, you know, how do we read our heart? What is our calling about? What is this relationship that we have with God as he lives in us? And in that relationship, we affect the world. So I would love to ask you, what are those takeaways for you? I mean, you started in your exposure to all this at age 14. How have those messages affected you? What are the things that you hold on to from that seem very relevant for you?
Yeah, that's kind of a hard question to answer, I guess, about your own story because you don't know anything else. But, I mean, I think the core message, and I think it applies to both the Wild at Heart message and the calling message and or all around, is walk with God and follow your heart. And, yeah, I mean, I think that comes out, I mean, it comes out in the journey when, you know, you hear this over and over again, and especially as a kid before you're entering into worlds of any very big decisions or, you know, difficult places, and then you're constantly hearing this but not necessarily applying it to a very strong degree, and then all of a sudden you leave home or, you know, get a job or find a new school, and then suddenly those things are put to the test, and it's really, can you really follow your heart in this? Can you really walk with God and try to listen to him and remember these things that you've been taught?
So, Jesse, how do you connect walking with God and following your heart?
Well, I think maybe that's kind of the beauty of it, is that connection where it's, you know, it's both listening to these directions that have been set down, you know, whether that's in the Bible or, you know, through people in your life saying this is how things should be done, and then tying that into these desires and these passions and whatnot in your own heart, and actually combining those. And that's what, I don't know, that's what brings, you know, beauty to these different journeys and allows you to walk in something personally and yet still engage in this, in something bigger than yourself, something that's not necessarily selfish.
Right. So if you were to talk to someone your age, someone who just graduated from college, and they were to say to you, well, how do I know where my heart's going? How do I follow my heart? What would you give her, just some signs of where your heart's going?
I think a good place to start is always, you know, what do you enjoy doing? Because I think that is really important. It's not the only thing, but it is really important. And to look at that, you know, you have to start somewhere. So it's a great place is, you know, what do you enjoy, whether that's in studying or in work type situations. And then at least, you know, pursue that out a little bit. And I think a big part of that is just getting experience in it. But I think that's where I'd start. And then, you know, maybe walk them through a little bit of those things like my dad does, is what do you enjoy specifically in that job or specifically in that, you know, area of study.
Yeah, so in other words, you're following your heart because you like something about this job.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start saying, but I don't like everything about the job.
Right.
So what do you do there?
I think that's where the whole awakened, deep and fulfilled thing kind of comes in, of there's something about this that's being awakened in you, and then sometimes, you know, you have to work through it. You know, if it's only part of a job that you like or something like that, you have to just stick with it until you have a better idea exactly of what it is that you're liking and disliking and what is just difficult or new to you. But yeah, I think it's working through that and allowing it to be deepened so that you can start to see more clearly what exactly in that is, you know, being awakened in you.
That's really good. I like that. So you were someone who was raised in the Wild at Heart movement. I mean, you were really raised in it. Your dad was one of the leaders. Your family friends were the leaders of this movement and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So in a certain sense, it wasn't new to you the way it might be new to a 45-year-old guy who's been living 45 years without any of it. So in the midst of that Wild at Heart message, what are the things that would say, you know, what are the top two or three things that stirred you? Even though it may not have been new to you, but they're the things that stick with you, the things that stir you.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the big things was this idea of the larger story and the idea of looking at life as a romance, you know, as an adventure. That's one of the things that awakened a lot of the literature in me was the Wild at Heart message and looking at things suddenly as there's this larger story that's going on that you're taking a part in and you can't always see it, and there's these romantic elements to what you're doing, even if they seem simple or, you know, everyday. If you look at it in the right light, or if you look at it in, like, what it truly is, there's something courageous about this act or something, you know, dangerous about this place, and your decisions make a difference. That's a pretty big thing, but perspective, you know, outlook on life is giving it the full story and allowing a person to enjoy those things and actually live, you know, a life that's, you know, has pleasure along with it, you know, the difficulty and whatnot.
So, Jesse, most of the people listening don't know that you have a degree in classical literature. Is that the thing that you loved about it? Or let me ask it this way. Is that the theme, the major predominant theme of most classical literature, what you just described?
I think it is, and I think that's really what a lot of literature can do, is take you into that world in a way that nothing else can. You know, a story, I guess, really, and particularly a fictional story, because it mixes this, like, high art of whether language and poetry and these different aspects of literature, and it mixes that with story where, you know, it takes you into that place and allows you to experience something that, you know, you might not be able to experience in your everyday life, or you might not be able to see it in your everyday life.
So, Jesse, we're all dying to know, with all of your studies, can you share a few of the authors that take you to some of those places that really do open up the larger story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Virgil, for me, was really the author. He was my favorite, you know, as far as what I studied. And the Aeneid, you know, is his most famous work, and that followed in the tradition of the epic. And, you know, it's one man's journey to found a city and to resurrect his people. It's pretty powerful.
It's so interesting that this love developed at these retreats for you, because that, without a doubt, I experienced the same thing when I went.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse, you're talking about loving the story, talking about the larger story, and then if I remember, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, you took a journey yourself where you went on the Way of St. James pilgrimage.
Yeah.
And so why did you, I think it's a 40-day walk or journey, and you can correct me, but why did you do that, and what was it like? And what
is it,
you know, for people who don't even know what it is?
Yeah, so the Way of St. James, the Camino de Santiago, it's one of the kind of the three major ancient Christian pilgrimages. You go, basically it ends in Santiago de Compostela, which is in Spain, in Galicia. And it was one of the journeys that, you know, pilgrims used to make, you know, over a millennia ago to a cathedral where supposedly St. James is buried. And after high school, I realized I kind of wanted my own, like, there and back again, my own adventure before I started the next stage of life. So I was thinking about what I would do, and I wanted to do something on foot and something in Europe, but I wanted to really be, like, just walking and experiencing everything at that slower pace. And somebody had mentioned the Camino, so I looked it up, and it was set up for people to walk, and so I just decided to do it and went out there, and it was pretty amazing. It was definitely a life-changing experience. It was 40 days of pretty much 40 days of straight walking, a couple of days off in there. Started on the border of France and Spain, and then walked all the way, basically all the way across Spain.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It's 40 days of sort of meditation, thinking, mm-hmm. walking. What do you think affected you?
Yeah, I mean, it forces you. It's 40 days, and you really can't escape yourself. You know, I remember being halfway through and thinking, "What am I doing? Like, this is ridiculous. I think I'm, out having this awesome adventure, but I literally have no choice but to walk. Like, that's all I get to do." But, you know, in the end, of course, it was every, you know, there were days of hard days and good days where I'd be like, I'm so glad I'm doing this. But you definitely learn, you know, you try to pray a lot, or you try to think through things. You try to, you know, think about the future or remember, you know, your story and stuff. And you realize it is really difficult when you have that much time.
Uh-huh.
Spent a lot of time thinking about what I wanted to eat, you know, in like 5 hours and, you know, recycling really terrible music through my head that I didn't want to be listening, thinking about. And, yeah, just I think being pushed through an experience like that and, like, actually being separated from everything you know for 40 days, and you get to engage a lot of interesting people, which is good, but you know, it's only on, like, short periods of time and a lot of different cultures and stuff, so there's not always strong connections. But, yeah, just being in a different world for that much time, and, you know, your entire world is your backpack and your shoes. Like, you carry everything with you to every spot.
Hmm.
What's the one or two things that you would say were the, you know, the deep lessons that you learned?
I think one of the big things was realizing how much life exists where you are established, like, you know, home in that sense. And the adventure side of things is amazing, but then usually when you're there, like when I've been in those situations on the Camino, I would spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, getting home and friends and family and, you know, a refrigerator and everything, and just understanding, like, you know, and getting a new perspective again, or refreshing that perspective of, like, oh, that's right, like, I love that place, and it's giving me the chance to, you know, develop different things that I can't do when I'm constantly moving around, or, you know, when I don't have established relationships around me. And then there was I was 19 years old, so there was that kind of independence, you know, that just being forced to these situations where I don't have anybody to fall back on. And, I mean, other than God, of course, because, you know, God's taking care of me and you know, my parents, if I had to call them, although that was kind of a difficult thing to do, you know, trying to find a phone and not having any Spanish, really. So being in a place where I could learn, well, to rely on God in those situations, and that I could get through these, you know, these difficult situations and start to figure out how things worked. And by the end, I felt, you know, really confident. I could, you know, I knew what I was doing. I could deal with people, you know, despite the language barriers. And
yeah. You know, what's interesting, talking to your parents, Jesse, that's the story that they tell. And when they saw you get off the airplane from that trip, they saw that you were a changed man. And it's so much fun to watch that. And you were so privileged to be able to take a 40-day journey. You know, I would suggest, especially when you're making a transition, and I would suggest that's just about anybody making a transition, is to get in that liminal space, that 40-day experience where you're outside of your comfort zone, where you sort of you're not able to rely on things that you had to rely on, and you can't escape from yourself for this time with God. You know, that, you know, and that you'll have many more in your future transition, you know, and to, you know, that 40 days, that's what Jesus fasted for. I think there's something so significant about that 40-day period. So it's remarkable that the journey took that long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, you mentioned writing something in the book. Let me just read that one passage from the book because it's so true. So Lee and I stood at the Denver International Airport waiting to see Jesse emerge from the escalator after his flight home. At the very glimpse of him, we could see the transformation had taken place. The change wasn't anything physical. It was something in his countenance. He had aged, or better yet, he had increased. Not because 40 days had been added to his life, but because of what he had journeyed through. And so anyway, I wrote that because it was just so true, Jesse. When you came up the escalator, we gasped for two reasons. One, because we finally had you back, because during that period, gosh, we couldn't get in touch with you. We were dependent on you calling us, as you could, to let us know you were still alive, you were okay. We even if something happened, it would take us so long to get to you. So one, having you back was enormous. But the second gasp was because, honestly, we could see in your face you were a different man than you were than when you left, that you really had increased. And it was amazing. And I'm really taken by this idea that you have a better perspective and can appreciate something when you're away from it more.
Mm-hmm.
As you talked about home and relationships. And then the other thing of a situation, Jeff, as you had mentioned too, where you can't get away from yourself. and yourself is all you have, and you're not sure you like that company.
So what's interesting is the three things that kind of come out of that journey of the way of St. James was that you left your mother and father and your homeland, and you went out, you know. And of course, this is what it looks like to follow God, you know. I mean, Abraham, you know, go to a land far away. You know, there's this aspect of God. This is how he calls us, you know, and that you left that. That you survived it and you actually got a confidence from it, and that you are exposed to other cultures around you.
Yep.
Jeff, I just was thinking about that scripture, right? Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And Jesse, you were talking about, I learned how to handle a situation that I could myself, and I learned how to read and handle people, and I just thought that you know, this was just part of your journey, but it illustrates that God leading you out in a place where you had to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's amazing. So Jess, let me for sake of time here, let me ask you this question about your current journey right now. As you said, you came up the escalator from flying back from Spain and taking this pilgrimage, and you realize you're just stepping into another part of the journey at this point. That wasn't the epic journey, though it was epic for what it did for you, but you're in other parts of it. And so talk to us more about kind of what your journey feels like now. You've graduated from university with this classical literature major, and where is your heart taking you? How clear does your life feel right now? What are you going on? That kind of thing.
That's a hard one because, you know, it's hard to see where you're at right now and kind of really have much of an understanding of it. I mean, right now, I'm working in this kitchen, this restaurant kitchen, and I love working with food, and so that could be where I go. I mean, but I don't really know. I feel like it's a good place to be in at the moment, whether this is the beginning of my career or if it's going to be something else, I'm not even sure yet. Yeah, I've been trying to pursue these different things that I've enjoyed and having to make decisions, which is probably the scariest part, is being forced to make decisions that I know are going to be serious because I only have so many years to, you know, develop a trade and, like, establish myself somewhere.
So, Jesse, your dad talks to me about your love of cooking, and he talks about how you check books out of the library on cooking, and not necessarily just to get a career, but just because you seem to like, you know, learning how to cut vegetables a certain way or that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start liking cooking? I mean, what was it, and what got you to want to continue to do to spend time at it, to invest time and energy and effort?
I mean, I think what kind of draws me to it is, as far as like a craft goes, I love the way it combines physical aspects of, you know, using your hands, using a knife, which is, you know, fun. There's not a lot of trades that allow you to, you know, use like basically a samurai sword. And, you know, I love that it combines these different aspects of like taste and smells and, you know, temperature and color and all these different things. And also, you know, it engages your mind in different parts, you know, where you get to come up with recipes and you're having to understand how these different things react to each other in order to, you know, create good flavor. And so there's something about the craft overall that kind of draws me to it. And then I started in college, you know, cooking just to pay rent and at a student house and got to learn a lot there and just been kind of doing it since then. And both, you know, most of what I've learned, to be honest, is just in my own kitchen or, you know, my parents' kitchen, getting to cook at home, as far as like really understanding food. And then just, you know, work is where I can kind of perfect the simple, you know, cutting methods and getting faster at things like that.
You know, what strikes me is you keep using the word craft. You know, I like perfecting the craft. I like learning the craft. Now, I think of cooking as a task, but task doesn't sound nearly as enjoyable as a craft. Talk a little bit more about the craft part and why you like the craft.
Love the idea of the craft, where it's like you're joining a certain tradition. Certain, you know, these things have been done for, you know, a long time.
Ever since humans were eating.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, these different methods that have been developed and these different traditions that you get to kind of join and learning, you know, like these skills that a lot of them are just physical, like, you know, cutting or, you know, mixing and all these different things. But, you know, you're learning muscle memory, you know, and some of those things you get to unengage your mind after you get really good at them. But then there's always an aspect of it that you have to engage in as well, whether it's, you know, before or after, that so it's something that you can really become really good at and not have to you know, constantly be trying to change it. At the same time, you can develop in it, which is kind of nice.
So early in the discussion, you were talking about, you know, I was asking you, what would you say to somebody about how do you follow your heart? And you were saying, well, just find out what your heart enjoys. What do you, so you, it seems to me you just enjoy the craft of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
What is it you enjoy? What brings delight?
I mean, I think it's that, it's just that whole process of, you know, building something with all those different elements in it and, you know, developing kind of a precision in it. I mean, one of my favorite things really is the knife, which is, you know, the essential tool of a cook is his knife. And being able to, you know, use that where it's like a, you know, a sharp piece of steel, an incredibly sharp piece of steel that you're using to change something that God has created and that's grown in the ground, and all of a sudden you take it out and you know, apply a knife and a little bit of heat and you've got something new, and or not new, but, you know, developed and different and better in some ways. And
so with that, Jesse, description, and I'll put you on the spot, and you've been around this message for a while. Right now, what could you say is your calling? What is the effect of your life? Even banking on what you just described with how you prepare food.
See, I don't know if I could even answer that. I mean, I start to feel it coming out, you know, in different jobs, and, you know, felt a little bit in school, and I don't know what exactly it is about these jobs that, you know, what's being awakened in me. And because, I mean, at the same time, as much as I love cooking, you know, there's plenty of times where I see a movie or have a conversation with somebody and think, man, I'm doing the wrong thing. Like, I need to switch jobs quick before it's too late. Or, like, I wish I was doing that thing.
Well, so, we're laughing, not at you. We're laughing with you on that, you know, on that, because we've experienced the same thing. But, you know, if you take that time to build something that unique, that the table that you set creates a certain type of fellowship that's just, you know, incredible when you visit somebody that takes the time to prepare something like that. You know, I love that. But, you know, along with that, there's the classical literature. Along with that, there's this love for travel. Along with that, there's this love for other cultures. And you've used the word a few times, development, that God is so much developing you. So, you know, there's a whole man really coming out of this picture. You know, you haven't been single-minded just towards food. You've enjoyed other things. And so really what I'm seeing is very much of a development, but in a really neat way.
Jeff, that's really good to hear, too, as Jesse's dad. You know, one of the things that strikes me, Jess, is I'm listening to you, and I'm so enjoying listening to these guys ask you questions, is that at the beginning of the conversation, when Sam was asking you about your major, classical literature, and what do you love about it in story, you talked about you love the fact that these classics, there's just this combination of language and poetry and story and style. And you just used almost the same thing for cooking. There's this combining of, you know, different ingredients and flavors. And I thought, gosh, you use almost the same words to describe both what you love about literature and what you love about cooking. And obviously they're different fields, but it's the same. It really kind of appears to be the same art or craft. And you love them both.
Yeah, I've never actually noticed that before, but
one of the things that struck me, Jesse, about what you were talking about is I loved your word craft. That really stuck for me. And I was thinking it's almost useful to think for us to think about our calling as a craft. It's sort of taking all these different raw elements that you were talking about and combining them in a way. And, you know, in us there's different raw elements of the desires that God's given us. You know, it could be a desire to encourage, it could be a desire to bring clarity, it could be a desire just to bring care. But we sort of put it together and create a – I love the idea of sort of saying, I want to create a craft of my calling so that I really can bring it in many different places. I want to work at it. I want to perfect it. I want to struggle over it. I want to improve it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way you were describing that with the craft of cooking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually a really good metaphor for working on our calling, you know, sort of honoring it by perfecting it.
You know, Jess, when you graduated, your mom and I both said, man, you are welcome to come home. We would love for you to come home. Live with us again for a while where you have no pressures of paying rent or anything else, and you can simply go out and experiment. Just chase your heart for a while without anything forcing you in a certain direction. And so you're living with us right now, and we love that. And I love the fact that, you know, you started wondering, gosh, I wonder if there's a job out there in a kitchen of a really good restaurant, not a fast food restaurant, but a really good restaurant. And God just seemed to open that door. It's the first place you looked. It was the first, you know, you sent an email asking that you'd like to interview for this. You did it that day, I believe. You were pretty much given the position that night after the interview. And just to watch you chase after your heart, and even as we were talking on the deck a couple nights ago, just you're wanting to learn, to hone the craft and see if it really is a major part of your heart. So you're working your way through the stations of the kitchen and learning different aspects of it. And just you're saying, you know, I'm going to do this for a year or two to learn this, and then I'll know more if this is my direction. I just think that is such, you know, a healthy, mature perspective on this journey in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it can be kind of scary sometimes because, you know, you don't, I mean, some of these decisions I realize, like, there's a lot of things that, you know, that could be enjoyable to pursue, and, you know, having to finally decide, like, okay, I'm going to do cooking and I'm going to stick with it for a while and, you know, hopefully find that, like, you know, that's something I can do. And, you know, maybe that could change, or I know God could bring in other things at the same time as I'm doing that.
Sure.
But having to make those decisions.
You know, it's interesting, Jesse. Some of the most talented men I know, I can name three of them right off the top of my head, and they're talented in many areas. They're all excellent chefs.
That's fascinating.
It really is. You know, I'll tell you, if you ever want an idea of something to do, you know, what can you do for God? I'll tell you what you should do. Start a classical book club where you get together, you discuss this literature, and then prepare a meal for those people after the discussion. I'm telling you, man, you'll have the chicks coming over there, you know. You know, that's what I can't believe. You know, you did things that, you know, you followed your heart. I only did things that impressed the women, you know, the girls, you know. And that's how I grew up. So it's just fascinating to hear this.
That's really funny, Jeff. But I won't say anything. That's good.
It is nice when they line up, you know.
So, Jesse, a lot of times guys will ask me how my kids are doing. And some is out of a legitimate love for me and my family, and just like we'd ask good friends, how are your kids doing? But sometimes I can tell what they're asking is, I bet your kids know what their calling is. They're completely focused, no questions, you know, on the path. And, you know, what I'm thinking internally is, you haven't heard a thing I've said about calling, have you? But I would love for you to just honestly describe, what does your life feel like right now? What does this pursuit of, gosh, I wonder what I'm here to do. I wonder what I'm supposed to be doing. I wonder what God's up to. Just honestly describe what your life feels like right now.
I mean, it definitely does not feel very clear at the moment. I have a job, which is nice, but, you know, it's not very well paying, and I don't necessarily, you know, yet feel like it's exactly what I want to be doing. You know, like you were saying, living at home, which is great because it gives me an opportunity to pursue some of these things without as much pressure. At the same time, you know, being 26 and being at home isn't exactly, you know, what most people look at is like where I should be. And, you know, I don't have a very clear sense of exactly what I, you know, should be doing next or where this is going. At the same time, I feel, you know, reasonably confident in that, like, God is walking me through this. And so whatever it is, you know, in this thing, I mean, I made the decision to take this job, and I think that God will work through that decision and develop whatever it is in me he's doing. And so, you know, part of that might be with the job, and part of it might be simply something taking place, you know, in that specific environment. But I don't necessarily know where this is going or what the next step is.
Well, let me ask you a question. How similar does that feel to your way of St. James at times, where you weren't really sure if it was the right direction and you weren't sure where you were going?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It feels exactly like that. You
know? It's a journey.
Yeah, it's a journey. And you start off and, you know, I got lost the most at the beginning, you know, and after a while, or there would be times where I'd think, am I lost or not? And then I eventually came to the place where I decided, if I don't see something that tells me, you know, like, go this direction or you're on the wrong path, then I just kind of started realizing, okay, well, I have to assume that this is correct because I don't really have another choice. So I just walk. And that kind of, you know, eventually worked out because, you know, first it'd be like, well, I need a sign. I need to know that, you know, this is the right trail. And then it was like, well, as far as I can tell, it is. So I'm just going to stay on it until because I have to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the end, I didn't really get lost nearly as much because I started kind of trusting those instincts and just allowing, you know, allowing the road to, you know, take me to the next spot, and then I could, from there, I can, you know, correct if I have to.
You know, reading a lot of biographies lately of people that I admire, I just see what I admire in them. And what I love is reading the biography of most of their life, they had no idea what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They were just moving forward. They were just taking the next trail. They were taking that instinct and moving one way or another. And it's so reassuring, especially as adults, to look back at your life right now and to just say, okay, take that inner sense, that inner feeling, and take that direction and just move that way. And God is certainly big enough to move you out of that or move you another way if he needs to, but that you're just moving and you're learning to listen to that. And then maybe like you were saying, eventually you're a little bit less lost as you're progressing in this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been an amazing conversation, and I am really taken by all the patterns, the similarities, the connections now, you know, from that you guys have brought up out of Jesse, like, you know, the being immersed kind of in the message of Wild at Heart and the calling message. And Jesse, I remember you saying, I think one of the most important sessions at Wild at Heart was the larger story, understanding context. And that now that makes sense of your love for classical literature, the story of it, and where it emphasizes the journey and the adventure and the walking through mystery and answers coming, and you go with what you've got. And that tie that you just made, Sam, to what life feels like now and how much that felt like his pilgrimage on the way of St. James. And, you know, the combining of what you loved about literature and what you love about cooking. And, Jeff, what you were saying is just it seems like every man's story is that you just go by instinct or by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You just keep moving. And God could use all that to form the life he wants. I mean, this has been fascinating. I've loved hearing these elements of my son's life, and I'm certainly thinking about my own as well. This has just been fascinating.
Yeah, Jesse, I listened. Did you watch that movie, 180 Degrees South?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, it would be great, and I really think you'd like it. It's got great music in it, too. It's about an adventure down to Patagonia. But one of the guys that went down there actually started the company Patagonia,
right.
And he said something really interesting. He says, what if in the end it's not about getting to a destination or achieving a goal, but what if it was really just about the process, you know, just the journey that you took? And so it was so much fun today to hear some of the journeys that you've taken in classical literature, in the way of St. James, in the way of cooking, and that you're so well on the journey, and in that you are in Christ. You know, our lives are in Christ, no matter where we're going. And, you know, so just enjoy the process, but just keep going. Just keep taking risks. Keep pushing forward.
That's good. Sam, any final thought from you?
You know, Jesse, it's just been fun listening to you talk about your journey, and I think that I'm struck by the thing that you said at the very beginning, which is you know, when you sort of summed up what you learned in the Wild at Heart and Calling, and it's what story are you living in? What story are you, you know, what is the larger story that you're really living in? And
mm-hmm.
I love the fact that you were able to illustrate it by the journey of, you know, your classic studies, by taking the way of St. James, by talking about even your current journey right now about cooking, and you just sort of, it's a journey that you're learning, and it's a story that you're living in. It's a story of adventure and discovery and sometimes danger. I love it. I'm really inspired by it.
Thanks.
Well, Jeff and Sam, thank you for doing this with me, with Jesse. And Jesse, thank you for being vulnerable like this just to have us interview you in front of the guys. So thank you. You guys, thank you. And Jesse, I love you, and I'll meet you downstairs in the workout room in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Jess.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
Okay.